chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. We're going to begin with the first four verses of this chapter. It says, "Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, and he summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the mountains of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt.'" Now let's skip down to verse 11. "Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." That's a lot of ites. "But I gave them into your hands, and I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, and also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from them, from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord, and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I want to read a short article called "A Successful Dad," written by none other than Dr. James Dobson. He says, and I quote, "How badly America needs husbands and fathers who are committed to their families, men who are determined to succeed in this important responsibility. My father was such a man, and his devotion to my mother grew steadily through their 43 years of marriage. They were mutually dependent in the way God intended. It is fitting, therefore, that in his final moment of consciousness, he fell toward my mother and died peaceably in her arms. Very few people fully comprehend the depth of my dad's love of learning. When he died, he left a book beside his big chair, open to a description of the molecular structure of deoxyribonucleic acid, and the process by which hereditary characteristics are transmitted from one generation to the next. Beside it was a list in his handwriting of the way they are genetically coded. Desire to know, alternating biology, physics, astronomy, ecology, theology, politics, medicine, and the arts. He left a half-finished painting of a mountain stream in his basement with a photograph propped to its right. A pallet of oils rested where he had placed them on that final Saturday night. Yes, my dad loved everything that God made. And it is thrilling to contemplate the learning process that must be occurring right now on the other side. Finally, my dad also loved me. I've known that from my earliest moments of awareness. I'm told that when I was a small child, perhaps 3 years of age, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment. My little bed was located beside the bed of my parents. Dad said it was not uncommon during that time for him to awaken at night and to hear a little voice whispering, "Daddy, Daddy." He would answer quietly, "What, Jimmy?" Then I would reply, "Hold my hand." My dad would reach across the darkness and grope for my little hand, finally engulfing it in his. He said the instant he encompassed my hand, my arm would become limp, and my breathing deep and regular. I'd gone back to sleep. You see, I only wanted to know that he was there. These were among the common memories that surged through my mind on a lonely plane trip this September my father passed away. Then another flood of emotion came over me as I thought about my own children. I wondered what memories will predominate in their minds when I lie at the point of death just a moment or two from now. What will they remember to be the happiest experiences of their lives? Will they recall a busy father who was preoccupied with writing books, catching planes, answering mail, talking on the phone, and being a big man? Or will they recall a patient dad who took time to love them and teach them and enjoy the beauty of God's world with them? What kind of a dad, kind of a father, what kind of a man are you? How are you living your life? What are you teaching your children? What kind of influence are you having over your family? How will you be remembered someday? You know, I have a feeling that Joshua was not only a godly man, but also a very good father. He certainly was a strong and successful leader of God's people. And as a leader, he followed God and he led his people to great victories. He did the right things and he made good things happen. But his words in Joshua 24 lead me to believe that he also led his own family, his own household, just as well as he led the nation of Israel. He understood what it meant, what it took to be a successful leader and a good father. You see, friends, if you fail in leading your family, if you're not a good father, nothing else that you might do or accomplish in life or even in the church really matters. Godliness and successful godly leadership always begins at home. So in the next few moments, I want to speak to the men, the dads here today. Ladies, it's okay if you listen in. But this is for the men today. The greatest thing that you can aspire to in this life is to be a real man, a loving husband, and a godly father. The fact is, a lot of males help produce children. But it takes a real man, a godly man, to be a good father. So the title of my message is just that, a good father. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for each and every dad, grandfather, every man that's in this place today. Every home, every family, every child, every grandchild that's represented. Some of our kids are here. Some of them are not. Some of them are small. Some of them are grown up with families of their own. As we reflect upon our fathers, we also reflect upon what you tell us in your word about being a good father, a godly man. And I pray that through your word and the example of Joshua, that you will speak to each and every one of our hearts of our men. That you would inspire us, that you would challenge us, maybe even convict us and change us. We only get one shot at this thing. Help us, Lord, to make it right, to do it well. Lord, I ask one more time for the empowering and the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that I can preach this message with clarity, conviction, boldness, and power. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does it take to be a good father? Well, several things. The first of which I think it takes to be a good father is this. We must recognize, or let me personalize it, you must recognize the importance of your calling. The importance of your calling. Here's an important truth. God designed the home and the family all the way back at the very beginning. He designed the family as the basic unit, the basic building block, if you will, the very foundation of our society. And He designed Dad, the father, as the head and the spiritual leader of the home. I'm going to say that again. God designed, He planned, and the Bible teaches clearly that the father is to be the head and the spiritual leader of the home. Now, I know that's not politically correct. Culture and society has changed, but the Word of God doesn't. It's not politically correct anymore to say that, but it is very biblically correct. I'd rather be biblically correct any day than to be politically correct. In fact, I believe that indeed one of the major ills or problems of our society in our world today is missing dads. Missing dads. I want to quote an article that I came across that was written by a marriage and family counselor. His name is John Michael Nichols. I want to quote part of his article, and he says this. He says, "Today is Father's Day. Greeting card sales will not come close to those on Mother's Day. And in fact, they will place 15th on the list, behind the more popular celebrations such as pet birthdays and congratulations on your latest divorce." Fathers are a missing link. When did our society lose so many fathers? He says, "I do a lot of work for the Department of Family and Children's Services, and 80% of these cases, the fathers are absent. Or the present male is not the father of all the children." Missing fathers. Why are they gone? Is it harder to be a father than a mother? When I do therapy with a family, my first session is spent doing a genogram or a family tree. I connect spouses and add the children. And often I will be talking with the mother, and she will start with her first mate, and it usually goes something like this. "Frank was the father of Sally, your oldest child. Next came William and then Joseph." "Yes, but William's father is Billy Joe, and Joseph was a mistake. His father turned out to be married, so I don't tell people who he is." I don't want to cause trouble. And you didn't mention Ezekiel, whose father is gone. So you have four children by four different fathers. How do you feel about that? What do you mean? What do you mean? It occurs to me how accepted it has become for a mother to be the single parent of children by multiple fathers. Not even experience what's wrong with this picture. Now, this is an extreme example of how fathers just don't matter. How have we arrived at this tragic state? Because believe me, fathers do matter. And when I visit a family without a father present, I can feel the children hungering for my attention. Their eyes will not let me go. They seem to pull me in like a collapsing black hole. And this happens with both male and female children. They're so needy for male attention. And it doesn't matter how nurturing the mother is, she cannot be a father. End quote. Thank God for our moms and our ladies. And may God bless and give a special anointing to those who are single moms. But you know, moms can't really take the place of dads. Every child needs a father. Now, you can't change the past. And maybe you can't change the present situation. But if you are a man, be a godly one. If you're a father, be a good one. Be there for your wife, for your children, for your grandchildren. Because there's no greater calling for us than to be a good father. There's nothing greater than you can do with your life than to be a husband and a father. If you're not married, you have no children, find a child who needs a dad and be a good and a godly and a loving influence and an example to them. They need it desperately. Being a good father is not something we're saddled with. It's not a job. It's not an option. It's a God-ordained calling. It's a privilege. It's a joy to make a difference. I thank God for my father. He is a good, godly man. I often say that my dad is the most godly man I've ever known. And above all, he has been the greatest influence on my life. He made sure that we were raised in church. Church wasn't an option that we went to when we felt like it. Church was a place we wanted to be and we needed to be, and we were there. He set the example in prayer and in giving, and in faith. In fact, I often refer to my dad as my spiritual rock of Gibraltar. My dad was faithful. He could be counted on. He was the head of our home. He was a spiritual leader of our family. My dad was always there. When I was bad, when I misbehaved, when I did something, or my big problem was my mouth, I usually said something I shouldn't have said. And my mom would say, "Wait until your father gets home." Well, my dad always came home. Let's go back to Joshua for a minute. You know, of all the things that he did as the leader of Israel, I don't think there's anything greater than his being the leader of his own home. He didn't let that leading to somebody else. You see, it's too popular today to let the raising of our children to somebody else, to the world, to media, to social media, to society, to culture. I'm not going to let the raising of my kids or my grandchildren to anybody else. It's my responsibility. Most important to Joshua was being a great and a godly example to his own family. And he said something like this: God has given me this family. He's given me this responsibility. And by God, I'm going to lead them. So what did Joshua do? He stood up and he took a stand. And he stepped out in faith and with courage. He took the lead for his family no matter what others did. He didn't lead by popularity, but by what was right. Someone once said it this way: what's right is not always popular. What's popular is not always right. He realized how important his actions and his decisions and his leadership and his influence was, not only to his family, but also to all the people. You see, Joshua made a family decision and it led to a national decision. Did you catch that? Joshua made a family decision and it led to a national decision. My friends, if more men today would stand up for what is right and what is godly, it would lead the nation. So to be a good father, we must first be sure to recognize the importance of our calling. Secondly, we must be a man of faith and prayer. Man of faith and prayer. To be a good father, you must be a man of great faith. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, if it's impossible to please God without faith, then how can you lead a family without faith? A good and a godly father will have a solid, real, living, ongoing, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. He will exhibit strong faith. He will live out that faith in front of his family. He will set the example of what it means to walk in and live by faith. He'll trust God with his own life and with his family. And he will lead his family to faith. You know, it's interesting that studies have shown how a father influences church attendance. The studies show this, that if only the children come to church, occasionally mom and dad will attend. See, we often get this backwards. We often think, well, if we get the kids to come, mom and dad will come. Not true. It happens, but only occasionally. If only mom comes to church, no offense, ladies, but these are what the studies show. If only mom comes to church, sometimes dad and the family will attend. But if dad comes to church, almost always the whole family will attend. The moral of the story? Dad, you can and you should have a great godly influence on your family. Your faith will greatly affect their faith. And when difficulties arise, and they will, how many know that trouble comes? When it comes, go to God and trust Him. Because let me tell you, especially when difficulty comes, your family is watching. You have influence, whether for good or for bad. You have great influence. A couple weeks ago, Linda and I attended our Southern California Network conference, and in one of the sessions, one of the speakers was talking about the influence of fathers, of men, and he told a little story about one day they were out driving on our wide open, very easy to drive on California freeways. On one of our crowded, packed California freeways. And his daughter was sitting in the back seat in her child seat. And, you know, I think they probably thought after this was a mistake. But this particular car seat had one of those things, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's kind of a little toy that's set up in front of the child where they have their own little steering wheel. You ever see one of those? Well, his little girl had one of those on her car seat, a little steering wheel, and had a little horn for her. And they're going down the freeway, and all of a sudden in the back seat, he heard the horn blowing. And he heard the daughter say, "Daddy, did you just see how that guy cut you off?" Ouch. See, when troubles come, let them see your faith. Model your faith and your faithfulness. You know, I was thinking about, it's a big problem in society today. Of sometimes young women marry the wrong man. Not that it doesn't happen the other way, but this is Father's Day, so I'm talking about men. And sometimes young women marry the wrong man. And I wonder why. And I think it's often because they never had an example of what kind of man to look for in a husband. You know, I always figured it this way. If I want my daughter to pick and marry a good man, then I needed to give her the example of what a godly man really is. And to set the bar high for her in knowing what to look for in a man. Question. Do you want your daughter to marry a man just like you? And Dad, you should always pray for your family. We want, as we should, peace and harmony in our homes. You know, we're told in the Bible to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That city was home to the early church. And so I think it just makes sense to pray for peace in your Jerusalem, in your home. My dad, as I mentioned, was a man of prayer. My dad didn't go to prayer as a last resort. He always went as a first resort. My dad could pray. My dad led his family in prayer. My dad taught his family how to pray. My dad's prayers made an everlasting impact upon me. In fact, when my dad prayed, I felt like we were in California, not in Pennsylvania. Because when my dad prayed, it was like an earthquake hit. The whole house shook when my dad prayed. When my dad prayed, the demons trembled. When my dad prayed, God stopped what he was doing and he said, "Listen, Ken Adams is praying again." Prayer makes good things happen in your home. Prayer sets the right example for your family to follow. Prayer says to them, no matter what, we always go to God first. A good father will be a man of faith and prayer. And thirdly, a good man must study to become a man of the Word. Study to become a man of the Word. A good father is a teacher, always instructing his family in the Word and the ways of God. Knowledge and study of the Word is vital for all believers, but especially for fathers. You can't live what you don't know. And you can't lead others to where you are not at. Paul said it this way in his encouragement to Timothy. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. As teachers of our families, we, dads, men, we are responsible, personally responsible, to pass on our faith to our children. Many of us know Proverbs 22:6. In the King James it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I like how it's translated in the Message. Point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. In the Good News translation, it says, teach children how they should live, and they will remember it all their life. Somebody said this, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. How true. And we know that teaching is not just what you say, it's what you do. The life that you live and the example that you set. It's been said that teaching kids to count is fine, but teaching them what counts is even better. Your family, their faith and their future may very well count on you. But again, you've got to know it before you can teach it. I like the words in Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'll just read verses 18 through 20 of Deuteronomy 11. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You see, you can't teach the word of God unless you know it yourself. You can't reproduce a faith unless you have it yourself. Share what you know and teach as you go. In the everyday situations of life, that's when we teach by word and deed what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow Jesus and put God first in our lives. And as a spiritual leader of your home, you must know and show the way. Somebody said this, children are great imitators. Give them something great to imitate. I want to conclude this message with two final thoughts and a closing scripture. The two thoughts are this. First, the greatest thing that you can do on earth, dads, and we'll include moms on this, the greatest thing that you can do on the face of this earth is to experience Christ in your life and then pass him on to the next generation. And the second thought is this. Your children must make their own decisions. But they are greatly influenced by your life and the example that you set. And then my closing scripture is Psalm 78. Psalm 78, the first seven verses. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden from of old, things we have heard and known, things our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. Our time is short. Our days remaining are limited. The greatest thing that we can do is to look to those who are coming after us, to the next generation. Not only the next generation in our own families, our children and our grandchildren, but the next spiritual generation. Those children of God who are yet to be born into the kingdom. God is invested in us so that we can take it and in turn reinvest it into those who will follow after us. Family and spiritual children. So the next generation would know the word and the ways of God, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children, and they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. The greatest honor and privilege that God gives us in this life is to be a godly man. To be a loving husband and a good father. Are you fulfilling your God-given responsibility to your family? What kind of a man, what kind of a father are you? Do you recognize the importance of your calling? Are you a man of faith and prayer? Are you becoming a man of the Word? Passing your faith on to the next generation, teaching those coming after you in word and in deed. And will you say with Joshua, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. I want to close this Father's Day service and message with prayer. And I would like to call you forward. All the dads, all the grandfathers, indeed all the men. If you are able, I'd like to call you forward down to the front right now. I'd like to call you to come down right now. for a prayer, first of all, of commitment. Of commitment to these things that we've just talked about. To commit ourselves again, anew, afresh, to fulfill that calling. To be that godly man. To be that father. To be that husband. And then to pray to ask God for His help. I don't know about you, but I can't do it on my own. I can't do it by myself. I can't do it without God. I can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit living in me and through me. Thank you for coming forward. All the men, you don't need to be a father, all the men. Will you join me in prayer? Ladies, just extend your hands out to these men who have gathered here. This is an awesome sight. Heavenly Father, we thank You for each of these guys. Some are fathers, some are grandfathers, some are maybe fathers-to-be, but we're all men. And we all stand before You and we need You desperately. Lord, we recognize what You have called us to do and we accept the responsibility. We accept the calling. We accept the challenge. First of all, to know You and to serve You and to live for You with all of our heart. And then the responsibility to be leaders. To be godly men in our homes, in our marriages, at our jobs, in the church, but especially at home, God. You have called us. You have appointed and anointed us to be the spiritual leaders of our families. God, we make the commitment today. We renew the commitment today. We rededicate ourselves today and we accept the challenge. We accept the task, God. We receive and we rise up to the calling. Let us stand up with courage and conviction like Joshua. No matter what anybody else does, no matter what society does, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Because as dad goes, so the family goes. We commit ourselves to be godly men, to be good fathers. And Lord, we acknowledge that we need You to help us. So God, we pray that You will continually lead us back to the Word, back into prayer, back into Your presence, full of Your power, because we're dependent on You. God, we can't do it on our own. We can't do it without You, but we can do it with You. And we will do it with You, God. So help us, God. Bless these men. Bless every home. Bless every family. Bless every marriage that's represented. No matter what's happened in the past, we make You God of the present and Lord of the future. Help us to be those men that You've called us to be. And Lord, we need the ladies. We need the moms. We need the wives to love us, to support us, to encourage us, to egg us on. Because it takes a team to lead a family. It's Your design and Your desire. Be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody making the commitment today said, amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you, men. Happy Father's Day. God bless you. Praise God. We have a gift today for every, not only father, but every man, every guy here. So make sure that you get yours. I think we have some of the ladies who are going to be handing them out in the foyer as you go. So make sure that you get yours today. I pray that you'll have an awesome Father's Day. God bless you. And please, 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 please don't forget to stop by the table out there and purchase your ticket for the spaghetti dinner this coming Wednesday night at 6 o'clock to send our teens off to youth retreat in July. Amen? Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Love you. And again, happy Father's Day.